Everybody has the right to representation by a lawyer, but what happens when your lawyer gets hired away from you in the middle of a lawsuit by the person who is suing you? Well, that's one possible way of looking at the peculiar and rich source of campaign donations that at least a dozen states' attorneys general have found, money from big energy companies. According to an investigation by our partner, the New York Times, a group of oil and gas companies have provided attorneys general in at least a dozen states with record amounts of money for political campaigns. Eric Lipton, investigative reporter in the Washington Bureau for the New York Times, says the money raises the question of just who these top state lawyers are working for. Welcome, Eric.
Yes, thank you.
This is pretty amazing stuff. I mean, I thought the attorney general is supposed to be the top lawyer in an individual state working for the people of that state. This would call that into question, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, I mean, traditionally, the term that attorneys general use to describe themselves is the people's lawyer. But it is also true that there is a history in the United States of, you know, liberal environmental groups like the Sierra Club working closely with certain attorneys generals, mostly in the Northeast, New England, to challenge the federal government to try to tighten environmental standards. What has never happened before on this scale is an alliance between corporate America and these top law enforcement officials in the United States. And that's what's happening now, and particularly with energy companies.
Now, let's not get into the money yet. When you say alliance, it looks as though some of the actual briefs and letters and arguments used by some of these attorneys general were actually drafted by energy companies themselves.
That's right. And that's one of the more, you know, amazing things that I encountered as I was working on the story through open records requests. I asked for correspondence between a bunch of major energy companies and these offices of the attorneys general in different states across the country. And the correspondence I got back, I found that the energy companies were writing drafts of regulatory comment letters. They were writing, in certain times, industry lawyers were writing amicus briefs for the attorneys general. And they were also comparing strategy on lawsuits, and they were having closed-door meetings in which they were discussing ways in a coordinated fashion to challenge the Obama administration. I got a window into what is a pretty deeply organized effort that working together to challenge Washington.
You opened with a story about Attorney General Scott Pruitt of Oklahoma that characterizes, you know, a memo that was written by Devon Energy, a Oklahoma oil and gas company. And is he the most egregious example here? Is he characteristic of the other attorneys general?
I mean, egregious is probably a strong word and a word he would certainly object to. But there's no question that he is a leader of an effort that they call the rule of law campaign, in which they challenge that the federal government has overreached. And his alliance with the regulated industries is the most intense one that I could find. So I have five different letters that were presented to him by the coal industry and by the oil and gas industry that were basically written by the lobbyists and lawyers from those companies. And then they were put on his stationery and they were sent to the EPA administrator, to the Department of Interior, to the Office of Management and Budget, and even directly to President Obama. And they were all basically written by the industry.
Now, I suspect what Attorney General Pruitt would say, and I don't want to speak for him, but and possibly even corporate officials that you mention in your piece. Well, hey, we care about the consumers in our state. We are doing the people's business. We are doing just exactly what we think the people should have done for them to get rid of these burdensome regulations. Is anything about anything you've reported here illegal?
No. And in fact, yeah, that definitely is what his argument. And I went to Oklahoma City and I visited with him. I spent a day with him there. And he went and I went to Texas where he gave a speech and we spent a chunk of time together. And I've gotten to know Scott Pruitt. And, you know, Oklahoma is an energy state and the average person there works for the energy industry in one way or another. And so he does believe that while he is working very closely with these companies, to him, that is a form of constituent representation. But it is, you know, traditionally the role of the state attorney general is to be investigating and potentially, you know, pursuing actions against regulated industries, not to be teaming up with them and filing litigation or to be taking letters that they've written and then submitting them to Washington, you know, with your stationery and your signature.
In general, Eric Lipton, would you say that the attorney general position in states has become a new channel for leverage against the federal government on all sides of the political spectrum?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, it started again with the Democrats and with the tobacco litigation 20 years ago when the attorneys general joined together to challenge for the first time in a big way the tobacco industry, and they got $100 billion settlement or $200 billion settlement that is still being paid to the states. That was essentially, you know, a news flash. It's like all of a sudden, you know, corporations realized that these attorneys generals were either huge potential threats or huge potential allies. And that's why I'm writing this series, is because it has now developed into an extraordinary, you know, backroom scene of lobbying, both by, you know, against the AGs to stop them and with the AGs to use them, that has turned them into weapons for both sides.
In this energy story, how much money are we talking about at this stage of your investigation?
Well, the Republican Attorneys General Association raised $16 million this year, which is, you know, comparing it to the Democratic counterpart, they raised $3.5 million. And now it is not at all energy money, all $16 million, but a large chunk of it does come from major energy companies. Devon Industry, for example, gave about $125,000. And, you know, the Southern Company, I mean, you know, the major companies that are challenging the Obama regulations, almost all of them are donors to RAGA, as it's called. And so that $16 million was then turned into television advertisements in some of the most contested states. And the Republicans are now going to have 27 seats for the majority. For the first time in modern American history, they will control the majority of seats. And it's not like it's a Congress where they vote and that makes a difference as to if you have a majority or not. But if you have more Republicans, you're likely to have more people challenging Washington over regulations, you know, less people that are taking multi-state investigations of corporations because of a, you know, their particular point of view about, you know, of how aggressive a law enforcement official should be. So it is going to change things. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Who are attorneys general in the United States beholden to, and how is that going to affect U.S. energy regulations? Eric Lipton is an investigative reporter in the Washington Bureau who conducted this investigation for our partner, The New York Times. Eric, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.